This is the Farming for a Better Climate podcast.
Hi there, welcome along to the Farming for a Better Climate podcast. I'm Lorna Shaw, I'm a ruminant nutritionist with SEC Consulting. Today we're focusing on a recent project that's been to do with automation of data handling to improve beef efficiency. So we're here today in the Balgay Farmhouse kitchen, and I'm joined with Lorna McPherson, Andrew Houston and Ian Wilkinson. So first we'll kind of kick off just to talk a wee bit about the trial. So over to you, Lorna.
Yeah, this has been a really interesting project to get involved in with Andrew and Ian. We've been really looking at trying to improve the ease of collecting weight data on farms through use of technology, and then looking at how that data can best be used to help drive efficiencies in beef production, and looking at things like cow efficiency and also growth rates in young stock and finishing cattle, to maybe look at trying to make improvements to management or nutrition, just basically to try and improve the whole efficiency of the suckler herd and finishing system. So it'd be great if we have maybe a wee bit of an introduction from Andrew and Ian, just to hear a wee bit about their farm and what they're doing. So Andrew, I'll hand over to you for that.
Thank you, Lorna. Well, I'm Andrew Houston. I farm in partnership with my parents up in Glenshee, Glenkildy Farm. We're just in the bottom of the Cairngorms National Park in Highland, Perthshire. The farm's a 2,500-acre hill unit. We're carrying 170 Angus Cross suckler cows, where the majority of our calves are taken to store and sold privately to a finisher, and a few of them are finished for our own little farm shop. We also carry 1,100 breeding ewes. The lambs are all taken to finish, and we've 70 red deer in the farm as well.
Great, thank you, Andrew. And Ian, can you give us an introduction to your farm, please?
Hello, I'm Ian Wilkinson, and I'm farm manager and share farmer with INS Graham at Balgay Farm. Balgay itself is 1,000 acres, mixed arable stock farm, and I also rent a further 450 acres of marginal grazing land for myself. We run a herd of 180 cows, split equally between us. The Balgay herd is predominantly shorthorn based, a lot of pedigree animals within it, and my herd is predominantly Hereford based, quite a lot of cross Hereford cows. I also run 450 mule ewes, which all the lambs are finished off the aftermaths at Balgay. We grow 750 acres of cereals on the farm, so we're self-sufficient in all our feed for the cattle and the sheep, be it silage, beans and barley.
So I guess at the end of the day, we're farming, the two of you, in two totally different parts of the country, different climatic conditions, different growing conditions, and you also have to buy a bit of purchase feed to help support the growing and finishing cattle. And Ian, obviously, you're trying to be very self-sufficient in what you do in growing your own protein. But I suppose at the end of the day, when you're working with a suckler herd and looking to finish cattle, a lot of the aims of what you're trying to achieve are going to be very similar, regardless of the differences in the systems and where you're located. So what kind of things are you aiming to improve in the suckler herd with the weight data that we've been looking at?
Well, for me, Lorna, we're really keen to try and make our cows more efficient. Where we are, we feel our cows have maybe outgrown their environment a bit. They're getting too big for the land, and we've moved more down the Angus route to try and produce a cow that is more suitable for the environment. The way things are going, we're seeing rising feed costs, and we want to do everything we can to keep those cows sustainable for where we are. Having this weight data to work from has been a great starting point to really assess cows on an individual basis and how they're performing on the farm in terms of the calves are weaning and their overall efficiency. It's been really good to try and look at things in more detail to help us make better decisions to try and make our cow herd more efficient.
I would say the aims are very similar to Andrew's. We have quite a lot of pedigree animals within the herd, Herefords and Shorthorns, and it's quite easy to get lost in the pedigree side of the job and focus too much on that. But I would class myself as being quite commercially minded, and I want to find the pedigree animals that can perform on a commercial system, because at the end of the day, I would like to be selling bulls to commercial producers like Andrew. So we need to find the animals that are going to be the most efficient in their use of feed and resources that the farm has.
Thanks both. I know Lorna and I have really enjoyed being part of the trial as well, and we've been really lucky to have Farming for a Better Climate back us for this trial, and also fund some of the equipment that allowed us to start looking at data and automate that data collection better. So I know the trial has funded a kind of tablet and stock recorder for you, Andrew, and then also a wayhead for Ian. So it would be kind of quite handy to know just how you felt like the equipment that we've been able to purchase through the trial has been able to benefit and actually aid to your data collection on farm.
So before the trial, we were using a TrueTest XR5000 wayhead in our crush, which was great for recording data, and we could get quite a lot back from it, but it wasn't that easy to take that data and put it in a software program. So we've purchased for the trial a Shearwell handheld stock recorder and also an Android tablet. So we're currently on the farm, the cows are all on the Shearwell Farmworks program, but we also have AgriWeb as well. And both these pieces of hardware have allowed us to put that data straight into those programs, which has been really good because nobody wants to sit in the house at night and manually put all those figures in. If it can be done at the crush as automated as possible, you're much more inclined to record data and do something with it. Unfortunately, we don't have our cows EID tagged yet, so those numbers had to be punched into the computer manually. But once the number was in, the weight was automatically taken from the TrueTest box and downloaded it into the program.
Fantastic. I know definitely EID tagging is a big opportunity for the herd, so it'll be great when we can get that moving forward. Ian, what about equipment for yourself and how that's kind of automated your system? I know you were maybe a step ahead at the start, but how's the equipment helped you go?
Yeah, we purchased a basic TrueTest wayhead. We previously had a more complicated one. One of the, I think it's the XR5000 that we had before, but unfortunately, it would not Bluetooth connect to my phone or my iPad. So we purchased the basic wayhead, which would Bluetooth to the phone, the iPad, and the EID reader, because all our cattle are EID tagged. So it's just streamlined the data capture, because the cow comes out the crush, EID's read, Bluetooth's to the phone, the animal comes up on the phone, and then the phone connects to the wayhead, and it's all recorded into the app. I'm quite fortunate that the app that I'm using is cloud-based, so it's on your phone, it's available at your fingertips all the time, and all the data was captured there and then at the crush, so there's no need to come into the office now and upload all the data that we were capturing up at the crush. So it saved a lot of time from that point of view, and having that information available on your phone when you need it, when you're in the cattle sheds or out in the field, makes a huge difference to just efficiency of time, basically.
Fantastic. I know one good thing I noticed as we've been working through the trial with time is we were able to put a cow through the crush and have a weight in the system in less than 14 seconds, which was pretty outstanding. So there's definitely no excuse to say that data collection takes a lot of time.
I think it's fair to say that it's so valuable, the wheat data that we can collect on farms. And obviously, Andrew and Ian, you've managed to hopefully speed up the process and ease of collecting that data. Would it be fair to say that before that, you were still collecting weight data, but would you have had as much time as you'd like to look at the data, analyse it, and make a lot of decisions on the back of that data?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, Lorna. We were really good before at recording weight data, especially in our wean calves. really just to keep an eye on how they're performing through the winter, making sure we're getting their nutrition right and we weren't missing anything. But that was really as far as it was going. And this project's been a really good opportunity to start taking that data a step further and really start to look into it in more detail. One of the great things about the software being cloud-based is the fact that I can record weights on farm, and once they're in the program, Lorna can look at them back in the office straight away. There's no emails back and forth. She can just log into the program and see the data's there. So for her analysing the data off farm, it's been really easy to do. And she's been absolutely brilliant at giving me some really good feedback. Every time we weigh cattle, how things are doing, and giving us lots to think about. There's no doubt there's a huge, huge potential in data capture, and everything we can do to streamline this can only make it easier. And the easier it gets, the more likely we are to do this and really pay attention to our stock and allow us to make much more calculated decisions on what animals we breed and how we keep them.
I would say it's made me keener to weigh cattle probably a bit more often because it's so much easier. We used to weigh cows now and again before, but it was a lot of work taking down numbers and then loading them up onto the true test and then bringing them back into the laptop in the office and trying to upload them onto the system that we had before. But now that everything's cloud-based and you can record everything as you need it, as you're doing it, it just makes life so much simpler. I think the EID is definitely the next step to make it, you know, we're already EID tagged our cattle. So I think, you know, for it to be something for other farmers to look at, I think once EID comes in, I think they will then find that data capture will be a lot easier for them.
Yeah, that leads us really into actually talking about some of the data we've looked at in the trial and crunching some of the numbers. And I know part of looking at it was thinking about kind of not only cow efficiency, but also environmental efficiency for the suckler beef herd. And I know the suckler beef climate scheme, which was brought out by ScotGov in 2021, has some kind of really nice figures in terms of the impact of reducing, improving efficiency on reducing emissions. Part of those studies found that a 10% reduction in cow size could actually reduce emissions by about 9.2%, which is quite a significant figure on the herd. So we did kind of focus our data on kind of cow efficiency, cow weight, and then also looking at kind of weaning weights of calves. We've also been able to link that into what bulls were on each calf because both of you had such brilliant data sets that we could work with. Has there been anything when we've been looking at that data that's maybe surprised you? We'll maybe switch it up and start with Ian first this time.
One of the big things that I got a surprise at was the difference between the difference in weight between the heaviest cow and the lightest cow. I always knew there was a big difference, but to actually see it written down on paper in front of you actually is quite a big wake-up call. As far as the cow efficiency is concerned, the numbers maybe come out lower than what I was expecting. I think the amount of big cows that we have within the herd, with it being pedigree and having been historically chasing that pedigree market, I think that is to the detriment of the actual cow efficiency. And I think a lot of that historically would be due to them chasing the big bull market at Stirling and trying to breed cows that are going to produce a big bull. And then when you see that turned over and you see those big bulls maybe getting sold to somebody like Andrew's situation further up the hill, you can see how that big bull that's going to leave these big calves, which in turn is going to leave these big cows in Andrew's herd, is just totally the wrong way to be going.
At this point, it's maybe just worth talking about exactly what we mean by cow efficiency. So cow efficiency is a measure where we look at the weight of the calf And that's based on a 200-day weight at weaning, divided by the cow weight at weaning and multiplied by 100 to express it as a percentage. And the industry target is for a cow to wean 45% of her body weight. When we looked at that data for both Andrew and Ian, they were running just slightly below that 45% target. They certainly had plenty of cows in the herd that were certainly reaching that target and weaning even close to 50% of their body weight, which was excellent.
Oh, well, I would have to agree with what Ian's saying on this topic. There's very similar findings within our own herd. The one thing that's really woken me up was starting to put some numbers against those heavy cows. We've always known those heavy cows probably weren't the right cows for the farm, and they maybe weren't performing as well as they should have. But it's not until there's actually numbers beside them you really start to wake up to the fact that they're costing the farm a lot of money and not giving the returns they should. We've seen a huge difference between the lightest cow and the heaviest cow of over 400 kilos. Now that equates to 11 kilos of silage, which when you're short of silage up in the upland situation, and if you're going to run out, you're going to have to buy it in. Anything you can do to save that feed and be more efficient with it is certainly worthwhile. It makes you stop and think how many more smaller cows could we run on the same resources, or how many cows could we run at a much lower cost.
I think looking at your data, Andrew, one of the things that really stood out for me was when we looked at the 10 most efficient dams in the herd, and that was based on their efficiency percentage, so what percentage of body weight they weaned. What we found is that the 10 most efficient dams, they were 223 kilos lighter on average than the 10 least efficient dams, but they also weaned a calf that was on average 60 kilos heavier. So that really does help emphasise the point that generally we tend to find that the slightly smaller, lighter cows tend to be more efficient.
Yeah, I think we've done this analysis based purely on weight, and we haven't taken into consideration frame size or body condition at time of weaning. And I think you may find that we need to look more at frame size rather than weight, and have a correlation between the two, because you could have a moderate framed cow that weighs really heavy, or you could have a really big cow that's as thin as a rake but still heavy, and that moderate cow will be a far easier kept cow than the big thin cow. Also, you could have a really light cow that's maybe too thin, but she's rearing a really good calf every year, or maybe not every year. She's maybe only rearing a calf for a couple of years. It's a very good starting point to then take out all these less efficient cows and have a good look at them before you make any decisions on what you're going to do with them.
It just gets you looking at figures and paying attention to numbers, and when you see a problem out on farm and you recognise the number, there's a fair chance there's a reason why, and being able to go back and correlate that to some actual data that can maybe prove what you're seeing on farm or something you've missed. I think the real worth in this type of recording is time. I think the further down the line we go recording this data, once we've got lifetime data on cows, looking at these things, that's when we'll really start to see how those cows are performing in the herd. We've obviously just looked at 1 year within this project, but it really excites me what we could learn from our herd if we can keep this going and really start to record that data so we can analyse it on cows as their lifetime in the herd goes on.
It's been really interesting speaking to you both about data, and I think Lauren McPherson will say the same thing is, you know, we've been looking at numbers on a page when we've been crunching the data, but then coming back and sitting around the table and having a look at that data we used for today, you can link that back into a cow and you know what that cow's done on the farm. And that's interesting when you bridge that link.
The bit that really excites me going forward is when it comes to heifer selection. We've been keeping our own heifers now for years. In fact, all the cows in the herd are homebred. So we've got our entire heifer calf crop to pick from, which isn't an easy thing to do. Historically, that's partly been done on weight. We're calving at two, so we do require them to be a decent weight before going to the bull. But having all this data behind them now will really allow us to select at that stage instead of waiting to see how they perform later on. And as time goes on, if we can look at the mother of that potential replacement heifer and see how she's performed over her lifetime, what her weaning percentage has been, it'll really help us fast track the road to breeding a more efficient lower maintenance cow for the farm.
It's also useful for the heifers that you're wanting to keep as replacements, looking at what the mature weight of their dams are as well, because that figure is actually quite highly heritable, about 60%. So at the end of the day, we don't always want to be selecting the biggest heifers for breeding, because the risk is that we increase mature cow size over time, which is the opposite of what we want to do.
Yeah, that's probably the quickest way to increase your mature cow size, is to select your biggest heifers every year.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a mindset too, especially when you're calving at 2 years old, you need to do that. But I would say the data we've collected just in this year's project alone kind of proves that those smaller heifers calving at two can still go on and make a good job of their calf with and get back in calf at the same time. So.
I think what was interesting to me was when you look at the top efficiency scores, it's a lot of younger cows between the heifers and the first, probably second and third calvers. They're the ones that will be coming out with the highest efficiencies overall.
Yeah.
Which it would be interesting to see the mature cow herd split out of that, anything over 5 year old, to see what effect them reaching their mature weight has on their efficiency scores. But I think it's a positive thing for the natives that they can get, they can calve at 2 year old, they can rear a calf, they can get themselves back in calf again and stay, like they have the stability to be in that herd for a long time. Whereas if you've got a cow that's got a lot more maintenance requirements to keep fit, they tend to fall out of the equation by the time they're 3 year old, 4 year old. You know, you might get them back in, I think you'll find you'll get them back in calf that first time for their second calf, but it's that third calf that's the real problem.
I just wonder, is it worth bringing up something about creep feeding? Because I know Lorna had mentioned that you don't creep feed your calves, but Andrew, you do, and your weaning efficiency was slightly higher.
I think a bit of it would maybe be environmental. I think that's where you've got the big advantage down here. You'll be seeing a flush of grass much earlier, because that was one thing that quite surprised me when we started looking at the calf weights in more detail. A lot of those early born calves weren't outperforming the younger ones as much as we thought. And I think that's probably because we're calving quite early. Some calves are born 6-7 weeks before their cows are actually at grass. And I think that's maybe why you've got a wee bit of advantage down here. You've probably seen that spring flush of grass that good bit earlier.
If I was keep feeding to the same level as you, you're not huge keep feeders, but you are keep feeding some. Feeding at the same level as what you are, we could end up 10 kilos heavier.
Yes,
that's what you're saying.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Because of the environment.
Mm-hmm. You know, our farm sits at 1,000 feet. We're in a hill environment. We're down here on the prairies. So there is a big difference in
climate. It is colder down here.
It is definitely colder down here. It's the coldest farm in the country.
Yeah, if we were creep feeding to the same level as you, we would maybe end up 10 kilos heavier.
Yeah, and I think that's where our systems start to differ. We are spring calving, but we're reliant on getting a lot of our calves away straight off from mum. A lot of our calves are sold as soon as they're weaned in early November. We don't have the space and accommodation to keep many more through the winter, so we are under a wee bit of pressure to make sure that calf is performing. Whereas Ian down here has got the ability to bring those calves inside in their mothers and wean them much later. We're not massive creep feeders, you know, they're going out late July, early August. We're not pushing them hard, it's just getting them a good start to ease the weaning and get them put a bit of condition on before they're sold.
So my cows will be away to grass, my cows and calves will be away to grass a month in front of yours. Like they'll have grass to eat a month in front of your ones. But I'll be housing 2 weeks earlier than you.
Yeah, yeah. We probably
due to conditions, ground conditions.
Yeah. We'll be housing a bit later, but those few weeks were later, the cows are outside on straw, they're not getting much, there's not much good left in the grazing. It's purely just to save putting them inside until they're weaned.
So one of the other things that we've looked at in the project is the growth rates of the calf, both in the pre-weaning and post-weaning period. And that's been really interesting just to look at how well these calves have been performing, both on the dams and then after weaning. So for Andrew's herd, the average daily live weight gain of the calves from birth to weaning was 1.24 kilos, which I thought was absolutely fantastic. And there was only one calf that grew at less than a kilo a day. And I think that weight gain was 0.98. So the calves performed really well on their mothers. And I'm sure also the creep feeding would have helped with that later on in the summer. However, interestingly, when we looked at the daily live weight gain on the calves after weaning, and they were weighed on a monthly basis, the average growth rate was about 0.79. So they certainly dropped a bit in performance. And to be fair, I'm quite surprised at how much they dropped in weight gain, because they were on fairly good quality silage, that was about 11 ME, and they were getting fed about 3 kilos of concentrate as well. But it just really goes to show that you can't beat the nutrition of mother's milk, and the younger the calf is, the younger the animal, the more efficient they are at converting feed into growth. I don't know, Andrew, is there anything you want to comment on that, just looking at the difference in weight gain pre and post weaning?
Yeah, well, I found those figures quite frustrating, Lorna, because like you say, their performance pre-weaning was really good. And although they were abruptly weaned, they settled really well with no pneumonia. Despite the weather not being just on our side for weaning like many folk would experience this year, the calves really did settle into the system really good. Their concentrates in the creep was exactly the same as what they were getting in the trough at weaning, but they moved on to silage, and like Lorna said, their daily live weight gain almost halved. I actually looked back previous year's data, and it was actually quite a similar pattern to what we've seen in the past. But it does, just like you've said, Lorna, go to show the value of their mother's milk and the good the cow is doing to that calf at that stage. I think Ian probably seen the opposite when it came to his weaning, because the calves didn't have to go through that check at the same time as a diet change. Was that what you found, Ian?
Yeah, I found different results to what Andrew got, but we have a completely different system. Cows and calves all come inside late October, and the calves are allowed to creep through underneath an electric wire to a different court where we allow them access to what's going to be their TMR ration for the winter, which is made up of the best quality silage we can give them and beans and barley, just to balance it out. It's a system that I've been doing for 2-3 years now, and it seems to work quite well. The calves pre-weaning, when they came inside off grass, had been doing 1.2 kilos a day, with a top calf doing 1.7, just on grass alone with no creep. So they were then housed for 30 days, allowed to creep through to get their post-weaning, what they would be getting fed post-weaning. So that was 30 days they were allowed to do that, and then we weaned them by just shutting the gates on the court one day, and that was then weaned next door to their mums. And 30 days later, we weighed them, and for that 30 days post-weaning, they did 1.1 kilos a day. So there seemed to be no weaning check as such, which just proves to me that the housing of them on their mothers is paying dividends.
What's really frustrating for us is we don't have feed storage. Everything's done in bins. So it basically has to run in a bin for us to feed it. So we're quite limited to what concentrates we can actually buy in that we're geared up to handle.
Are you TMR on them or are you?
No. Our passages are really narrow. The mixer wagon, the silage all comes out the back, so you can't actually see it going out, and it's really hard to get a good consistent amount out, especially when you're feeding small quantities to like your newly weaned calves.
How many calves did you sell at weaning time?
50 something, I think.
You've sold all your best calves.
I don't know that.
You've sold all your best performing calves, therefore you're never going to get back up to...
That's a good point.
That's a very good point. Do you not think, though, we should see a bit of a difference on those calves once they're settled into that ration, though?
Possibly, but you're never going to get them back up. But if you've got... I've still got every calf in the shed, so... Whereas you sold your best ones after weaning.
What would be interesting is if I could get data back from the buyer of those calves. They were all sold privately to a local finisher. Yeah. If I could get data back from him at turnout, what they've done, and relate that back to what his ration is, it'd be interesting just to see what that difference is.
I think it's a good point as well when you're looking at weighing your cattle on a monthly basis, and if you do see a drop in performance, then you can always think about, well, why has that happened, and can you relate it back to a change in silage, whether it's a different part of the pit or whether you've gone on to a different stack of bales. It's useful to be able to try and pinpoint what the reasons are for any changes in growth performance and then see about what can you do differently next year, try and manage that better. Again, it's like what we always say, if you don't measure it, you can't manage it.
Ian and I work quite closely together with nutrition, but we can spot something in the data and we can adjust it quickly, which with beef rationing, it is more difficult to respond quickly. We're not seeing what a dairy cow sees in the milk every day. We often see if there's been something going wrong, if we don't have data there, we often see it when it's too late. So having the data there allows us to pick up these things faster and actually have a response and try to mitigate the effect that some of these impacts that are out with our control would have on the herd. So there's a lot of value in it.
Now, that's a really good point, actually, Lorna, because before we had the ability to capture data like this on farm and weigh our calves, the first we knew about calves not doing was when we were seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got even more effort to put in to get that calf to where it was. And quite often the weight data you wouldn't get back until it went through the market. And you would just be looking at a comparison year on year from what those calves were sold for. So to have the ability to assess things at any point in time you like, I think is fantastic. The one thing I would say I noticed, if you're weighing them too regularly, you might start seeing skewed figures. I don't know if that's something you've noticed, Ian, but you can get some exceptionally good daily live weight gains if you weigh them just a few days apart.
Yeah, I would agree. I think you don't want to be weighing cattle any less than a month. Yeah, if you start weighing them like every 2 weeks or something, if you're going to do them every 2 weeks, you have to do them every 2 weeks. It's like a double-edged sword. If you weigh them all the time, regularly, you know, at shorter intervals, you'll get a better data capture. Does that make sense? But if you're not going to weigh them, like every day, if you're going to weigh them every day, you will, over time, build up a picture. But if you've not got the capabilities to weigh them every day, so you have to weigh them, I would say, no less than a month apart.
I would totally agree with you. Consistency, I think, is quite important. If you were weighing your calves once a month for the first couple of months and then all of a sudden weighed them a week later or vice versa, you would see some pretty skewed figures and it would maybe start making you think there was a problem or they were having an exceptional period of performance that maybe wasn't there. Another thing to stop and think about too is not just weighing them consistently in timing, but in consistency in the manner you weigh them. For example, if you take them out of the shed and you weigh them straight away, make sure you do that every time. Don't take them out of the shed and muck the court out while the calves are out and then go weigh them before you put them back in, because that's going to totally distort your figures too.
Yeah, weigh them half an hour after you fed them, or an hour after you fed them, when their bellies are full.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to weigh them an hour after you fed them, weigh them an hour after you fed them
every time. Every time, yeah.
just to clarify what I was saying there about weighing more often, is what I was getting at was the likes of the Ritchie weigh box that the cattle go in for a drink of water. The beef monitor. So they go in maybe twice a day to get a drink of water, and they're weighed every time. But that then gives you, because all that information is put into then, you know, a computer, that then gives you a steady weight gain over that every day. So you're not getting, like you were saying, Andrew, doing them once a week. You get, you know, the big changes.
Mm-hmm. And what you probably see too, if you're using, like, say, the Ritchie thing or the Herd Advance water trough weighing system, is the calf probably weighing in quite a similar routine every day? It's probably drinking at similar times and being more consistent than it would be how we are doing it. So I guess you've just got to try and replicate that the best you can manually if you're not using that kind of technology.
I suppose there's always going to be inconsistencies to some extent in the data. There's always going to be factors maybe affecting, you know, how cattle are weighed each time you do it. But at the end of the day, and I think the important thing is you're weighing the cattle, you've got that data. You're a much better place for making decisions on nutrition or management or breeding decisions than people that are not collecting weight data.
And it's not just analysing that data month on month. I quite regularly look back on the weigh box, what that group of cattle were doing the previous year, and I try and name the files quite consistently at that point in time. Especially when it comes to things like turning bull and heifers out. Well, what weight were they last year? And am I happy with the ones I've got this year? You know, were we good enough to them at that point to get them to where they needed to be?
So, Andrew, I know one of the interesting things that we saw in the data was it looked like some of the later born calves seemed to generally perform better and have a higher 200-day weaning weight compared to the ones born earlier in the season. And I think you thought that might have been down to the fact that there's maybe not a lot of grass early on when the cows and calves are turned out. Has that made you think a wee bit about when you want to calve the herd? And would you push that, like, look at pushing that back a wee bit?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Lorna. We call it a spring calving herd, but the reality is in our environment, we've still got quite a bit of winter to go. A lot of the firstborn calves see quite a bit of snow long before they see grass. And this project's actually allowed us to kind of highlight that maybe those early born calves aren't giving us as big an advantage as we think. I think between the March born calves and the April born calves, there was only 18 kilos of difference between their average weaning weight, which is a bit of weight, but it's not colossal for the difference in at that time of year. So I feel maybe those early born calves maybe aren't just getting quite as good a start in life as the later born ones. And it's certainly food for thought further down the line. If we could bring our calving season more in sync with nature, our weaning weight might not be as drastically affected as we think it would. That's something probably we need to look at over a few years worth of data to really see if that is a good route to go down. It would certainly make our lives easier.
Mm-hmm. I wondered if I should be calving earlier, because we calve everything inside. I was wondering if I should be calving earlier so that everything's ready to turn out at the start of April. But I think if we turned everything out at the start of April, or well, the 10th of April, like, we'd be bringing stuff back in. Whereas I have the first 50 cows calved, usually by the 10th of April, and they're ready to go outside, and I can get them kind of spread out a bit outside, and then the grass comes as the rest calf, and they just go out the day after they've calved.
I think your weaning weights on grass alone kind of prove that you're probably where you need to be. You're making the most of it at the right time.
Yeah. I think if we waited to calve later, we would end up running into the problem of not being able to get the cows back outside quick enough to keep up with the grass growth. So the only way we could calve later is if we're going to shift to calving outside.
One thing I think we are getting the benefit of now is we've moved from Limousin bulls to Angus bulls, and in turn probably given us a sort of 10 to 14 day shorter gestation. So before, we were pretty much putting the bulls in not long after the grass started growing, whereas now some of those cows have almost got an extra cycle at grass before the bull goes in, which I think has really helped pull our fertility up a bit.
And I presume that's also helped with calving use a wee bit as well.
Oh yeah, hugely. Last year we were like under 1% for assisted calvings, which I think's probably the starting point in the fertility. If that, especially with the heifers, like if you've got a 2-year-old heifer and you rug the calf out of her and she's sick for a few days and that, like it's not going to help her get back in calf. Whereas if she's spitting the calf out and getting on with life, she's in a much better position at bulling than if she'd had help.
Oh, so I think it's been brilliant so far. I think we've had quite a lot of good conversation about what we've been looking at and some of the figures we've seen in the trial. But I suppose a nice question for you both is actually, what's the next stage for you both? We've been looking at a lot of data, but what are your plans going forward? Are you planning to keep looking at data? Is there anything more that you'd like to kind of delve into that you feel would be beneficial? Andrew, I'll start with you.
I think discipline's probably the one thing I need to work on and really keep this thing going, because doing this project's given us a huge insight to the potential of data capture, and I think really need to keep a conscious effort to keep that recording going on. And now we've discovered faster and more automated ways of doing it, that process is going to be much, much easier. I'm really keen to try and put similar data in every year so we can start seeing lifetime data of cows and how they're performing in the herd, and allow us to compare things year on year. And should there be changes in our system required, or with external pressures we need to react to, we've got some pretty valuable information there to see how altering things could change the outcomes of the herd's performance. And for anybody that's considering getting into any kind of weighing in or recording, doing something's better than nothing. Get a start. It doesn't have to cost a fortune. A lot of the software now is becoming quite affordable and quite easy to do with equipment and devices you've probably already got on farm or in the house. And there's some great systems out there. We've looked at 3 different programs between Ian and myself, but there's plenty more out there anyway. And most of these software packages don't just include your cattle. You can look at a lot of other things too and allow you to streamline your data collection on farm, not just on livestock, but on the whole business.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think it doesn't need to be complicated. It's just about getting a start and trying to find something that works for yourself. What about yourself, Ian? Have you got kind of what have been the next steps for you?
I think going forward, I'll just want to continue capturing the weights on the cows and the calves, and take a close look at some of these cows that are showing up to be less efficient and try and justify a reason to maybe put them away and keep heifers going forward that will meet the criteria that we're looking for. I think I have to agree with Andrew, there's plenty of software out there now that's good at capturing all this data, and whether you've got weigh crates or not, there's still other ways to capture a lot of data that can be used. But the main thing is to find the stuff that's simple for you to use, because if it's not simple, you won't use it. So.
And an easy starting point is even recording your calf weights at birth. I've been recording them for 3 or 4 years now, just using the band around the foot. And Lorna's managed to analyse all the bulls on farm and what their average birth weight was for those bulls. So if you've got that data, it can allow you to make better decisions on what bulls you put to your heifers. What are those bulls calving and compare to each other?
Yeah, we've been doing the same. Obviously, we've been a Peggy herd, all the birth weights are recorded. For the pedigree heifers and the shorthorns. And yeah, now that I've moved on to the app that I'm using, all that information's at my fingertips as to what the bull's average birth weight is, so that I can make decisions on whether they go to a cow or whether they go to heifers. So yeah, it just all helps. It all just helps streamline your management of the herd while you're out and amongst the herd. And takes away the time spent in an evening sitting in front of the computer in the office.
I think that's brilliant. I think if that doesn't encourage people to look more at weighing their cattle, then I don't know what will. I'd just like to thank Andrew and Ian very much for their contribution today. It's been a fascinating discussion, and thanks also to my colleague Lorna as well. We've really enjoyed working with you, and I hope everyone listening has really enjoyed that and taken something away from it as well. So thank you very much.
Thanks both.
Thank you.
Well, thank you both. It's been a great project to be part of, and given us a real boost to take things further.
If anyone wants more information on this project or any other projects under the Farming for a Better Climate initiative, please visit the website.